I always say at the end of the show, Rob,
I want to get locked up tonight. Listen to Rob Ross and get rock on my on the only podcast that I'll hear. That won't make me want to rip off my ears. Oh, the rock show, the rock show.
People, and welcome to the show. Do we have a show for you today? And this is our 175 episode of The Rock Show. And man, do we have a show for you. Mike, who are we talking about today?
Today we're talking about the punk rock band X. Okay, started in the original punk rock era, 1977, out of Los Angeles. Very unique band. Their lyrics have often been compared to poetry and or you know, people like Charles Bukowski type lyrics, people like Raymond Chandler lyrics, and words. They're a band that's kind of evolved in their sound over the 45 years they've been around. They're still around today.
That's still amazing. Active.
And you know, they're known between John Doe and, you know, Exene Cervenka, there they are in American Bandstand. I mean, that's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, American Bandstand, that's really big.
Yeah, I mean, that was in the 80s. They got a little bit more commercial. But they're an interesting band. They're probably one of the greatest bands out of L.A. that I've ever seen. You know, that whole punk rock scene in L.A. on the West Coast was very different than what was going on the East Coast in New York and places like that. But X, to me, they have this rockabilly influence to them, a roots rock influence to them, kind of in the way Social Distortion does, but not lyrically. They're like, you know, light years ahead of a lot of punk bands. You know, I think they just had some incredible lyrics, mostly written by Exene and John Doe, you know. But, and you can't forget Billy Zoom, great guitarist. Now, they were formed, like I said, in 1977 in L.A. Originally, the band was formed by John Doe, who was the bassist and singer, and guitarist Billy Zoom. Now, Doe brought his poetry-writing girlfriend, Exene Cervenka, down to a lot of practices. And eventually, she joined the band as like a second vocalist. She would sing a lot of their songs are kind of like duets in a sense. Like, you know, like she'll sing a verse, he'll sing a verse, back and forth. And drummer DJ Bonebreak would be the last of the original lineup to join after he left another great band called The Eyes. He also worked a little bit with The Germs, another great Los Angeles
band. Yeah.
Darby Crash and that whole thing. Now, X got a record deal pretty quickly with the indie label called Danger House. For what would they release one single on Danger House called Adult Books and a song called We're Desperate on the Back. That was in 1978. Now, there is a Danger House session version of their famous song Los Angeles that was also featured on a 1979 12-inch EP compilation put out by Danger House called Yes, L.A. Okay? And Yes, L.A., that title is a take on a compilation that came out about the New York City no wave scene called No New York. So it was kind of like a play on that. This particular six song picture disc, okay, it was an EP, also featured LA punk bands The Eyes, the Gerbs, the Bags, the Alley Cats, and Black Randy and the Metro Squad. Okay.
The good name.
Now, as the band became a fixture on the LA scene, which happened pretty quickly, a larger indie label called Slash Records was interested in them and ended up signing them. The result would be the seminal punk rock record Los Angeles, which came out in 1980. It was produced by The Doors keyboardist Ray Manzarek. They do a great version of Soul Kitchen by The Doors on that record. The debut record by X sold pretty well, but by what would be considered independent standards. But much of their early material kind of had this like rockabilly edge to their sound. It made them, to me, a standout when nobody was really doing that at that time in 1980. John Doe and Exene Cervenka co-wrote most of the songs, and their slightly off-kilter vocals back and forth, you know, harmony vocals, made them sound very, very different. They were very, like, you could tell it's an X song as soon as you hear them. Most of their lyrics tended to be straight out of poetry, and comparisons, like I said, to Charles Bukowski and Raymond Chandler were realized right away. Okay. Their follow-up effort called Wild Gift, okay, which was also produced by Ray Manzarek, came out in 1981. And it was similar in musical style, a little less, I would say, a little more straight ahead punk. Okay. Yeah. The songs were a little shorter, a little faster than on Los Angeles. You know, Los Angeles has like some kind of like some of the songs are very like plotting.
Yeah. Okay?
Like Nausea, even the song Los Angeles, it's a constant rhythm over and over. It's very, a very cool sound. And Wild Gift is a little more like, you know, I don't want to say Ramones influenced. It's not that straight ahead punk, but similar.
Yeah.
You know? And during 1981, Doe and Bonebreak, along with Dave Allen of the Blasters, who were a very popular rockabilly band, served as members of the Flesh Eaters, performing on their second album called A Minute to Pray, A Second to Die. X would break off sometimes and do little side projects. This was one of them. And so that's a standout record if you ever have to hear it. I have a chance to hear it. It's called A Minute to Pray, A Second to Die. And the Flesh Eaters were very kind of like a nihilistic, dark punk band. X would then sign at this point to major record label Elektra in 1982. I'm sure with the help of Ray Manzarek, because the Doors were on Elektra for many years.
Yeah.
And they would release the album Under the Big Black Sun. Now, it marked a departure from their trademark sound. Keeping with their punk roots, though, this new sound kind of like was influenced by some darker elements out there. Like Exene's older sister, her name was Muriel, had died in a car accident in 1980. Oh. And three songs on this record, one is called Riding with Mary, Come Back to Me, and the title track Under the Big Black Sun are kind of like stories about her sister. Okay. And the accident. Now, the track Dancing with Tears in My Eyes also dealt directly with Exene's mournful state of mind at the time. The album cover was a stark black and white cover, and the title were also a reflection of the somber mood she was in. Cervenka has said that it's her all-time favorite X record because it's really like an Exene Cervenka record, you know. Now, in 83... the band redefined their sound again with the release of More Fun in the New World, sounding more polished and a little bit more radio-friendly here. Moving away from punk rock, the band's rockabilly sound was a little more prominent. Some new elements emerged as well as a little bit of funk on the track called True Love Part 2, and also a little bit of folk rock on songs like The New World and I Must Not Think Bad Thoughts. The record was praised by critics and fans, okay? And it was during this time that the band started another side project called The Knitters, which was X, basically, without Billy Zoom, with the addition of Dave Alvin on guitar and Johnny Ray Bartell on a double bass. Okay. The Knitters concentrated on more of a country-ish sound, country rock kind of sound. And they have a version of Merle Haggard's Silver Wings, which is arguably might be better than the original. Okay. Wow. They would release the album Poor Little Critter in the Road in 1985. X's music was used in three movie soundtracks in this period. Los Angeles, the song Los Angeles, the song Beyond and Back were used in the film State of Things in 1982 and the film Breathless in 1983. Their version of the Trogs Wild Thing was used in the Charlie Sheen movie Major League in 1989. Wow. Despite some, do you remember that at all? Like that version of Wild Thing?
Yeah, that
was X. A lot of people didn't know it was them.
Yeah. But it kept true to the original version. It's not very like the original. So you can put the side to side.
It's funny because that was the year, I think it was 89 or around that time, that it seemed like everybody was covering that song. You had X doing it. You had Sam Kinison doing it. Remember that?
Yeah, Sam Kinison. He was a lunatic.
Yeah. So despite a somewhat cult following and overall positive reactions from critics, the band's first four albums really failed to translate into any financial success. Billy Zoom was threatening to leave the band over this growing frustration. And X decided to change producers in search of a more accessible sound. Their fifth album was 1985's Ain't Love Grand. And it was produced by pop metal producer Michael Wagoner. Okay. Their sound changed drastically. They sounded much more polished. They dropped whatever punk influences they had for a more countrified hard rock sound. The album's first single, and it was a popular video as well, was the song called Burning House of Love. It was a minor hit on Billboard Top Rock Tracks, hitting number 26. And the video, like I said, was popular. It got some airplay on MTV and all that. Now, all in all, Ain't Love Grand did not really meet expectations, even though they were getting a little bit of commercial success.
Yeah.
Billy Zoom would end up leaving the band in 1986, the same year that a feature-length documentary film called X, The Unheard Music was released. Zoom would be replaced by Dave Alvin, who they played with before in the Knitters. And he had left the Blasters. Okay. So he was with them now. And the band would decide to add a second guitarist named Tony Gilkison. He was formerly of a band called Lone Justice. Alvin's stay with X would be very short-lived, though, as he left shortly after they released their sixth album, See How We Are. This album was, again, a far cry from their punk roots and had a more like roots rock sound. The standout track on this record was written by Alvin and was called 4th of July. You ever hear that song?
No.
It's like, hey, baby, it's the 4th of July. You ever hear that?
Yes, I probably have heard it.
Yeah, that's probably one of their most well-known songs. It's been covered by some people over the years. After touring the See How We Are record, X released Live at the Whiskey a Go-Go and then went on a bit of an extended hiatus. They would regroup again in the early 90s. To record their seventh studio record, Hey Zeus, and like Hey, like H-E-Y Zeus,
yeah,
and released in 1993 on the Big Life label. The album marked a departure from some of the roots rock on See How We Are for a more eclectic alternative rock sound reflective of the early 90s. The album failed to be a hit, although two songs, one called Country at War and New Life, peaked at number 15 and number 26 on the Billboard Modern Rock charts. In 1994, they contributed the cover of the Richard Thompson song Shoot Out the Lights to a Richard Thompson tribute album called Beat the Retreat, which featured David Hidalgo of Los Lobos on guitar. On the same album, John Doe sang harmony and played bass, and Bonebreak played drums, on the Bob Mould's cover of Turning of the Tide. Wow. And Bonebreak also played drums on the title track, which was performed by the British folk artist June Tabor. The band also released an acoustic live album in 1995 called Unclogged, and it was released on Infidelity Records. In 97, X released a compilation called Beyond and Back, the X Anthology, okay? And it featured pretty heavily, mostly songs from their early years, and with when Billy Zoom was in the band, and contained some previously unreleased versions of these songs. They also made a formal announcement of their breakup at that point. However, they did a farewell tour to support the compilation record, which included Billy Zoom on guitar again. He joined and came back. So they had like the original lineup pretty much. They ended up going into the studio with Ray Manzarek again as producer to record a version of the Doors song, The Crystal Ship. And that was for the soundtrack to the X-Files movie, Fight the Future. Was that the first X-Files movie?
Yeah, I remember that. They were good, the X-Files.
How many X-Files movies were there?
There were two.
Was Fight the Future the first or the second one?
I think Fight the Future might have been the second one.
I think so. I think X-Files was just called the X-Files, right?
Yeah, the X-Files another... the movie, yeah. Then the second one was Fight for the Future.
Right, right. I don't know if I ever saw that. I remember seeing the first one. Were you an X-Files fan?
Yeah, I liked the show. And then they changed the main character. Then they brought back the main character. Then they just after the movie, they relived the thing for a little bit. Do you see that?
They rebooted it or something,
right?
They
rebooted it, yeah.
I haven't seen it, but...
Yeah, they did a few episodes and that's it. And then I think the X Files finally done.
Yeah, was Gillian Anderson in it?
They were both in it.
Oh wow, wow. Okay. Now, there was the documentary X: The Unheard Music was released on DVD in 2005, as was the concert DVD X Live in Los Angeles, which commemorated the 25th anniversary of the band's landmark debut album, Los Angeles. In 2005, X's side project, the old project they had, the Knitters, reformed, and they released their second album called The Modern Sound of the Knitters. In the summer of 2006, X toured North America on the As the World Burns tour with Henry Rollins and also the Riverboat Gamblers. In the spring of 2008, all original members reunited again for a tour with the Detroit Cobras.
Wow.
Yeah, I saw them on that tour. That was good.
You know what's sad? The lead singer of the Detroit Cobra is dead.
Yeah, she died a few months ago.
Yeah.
Rachel
so
Maggie.
The first movie was, the X-Files movie was, the first one was The Fight for the Future, and the second one was called I Want to Believe.
Oh, then I saw Fight for the Future.
So okay. You probably saw Fight for the Future. You probably didn't see I Want to Believe, which was the second one that came out like almost 10 years later.
Yeah, I didn't see that. I know I didn't see that. So in June of 2009, Exene Cervenka publicly announced that she had multiple sclerosis, mm-hmm. had MS. However, it's strange because over time, she's also said that she's probably been misdiagnosed. She had several contradicting diagnoses from different doctors, and she's quoted to saying at this point, like, she doesn't even give a shit anymore if she has it or not.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you supposed to do if you keep getting different, you know?
Yeah.
So now the band has continuously toured through the 2000s. In July of 2015, Billy Zoom was treated for bladder cancer, returning again that November of that year. In October of 2017, the Grammy Museum of Los Angeles opened a new exhibit titled X, 40 Years of Punk in Los Angeles, which ran to February of 2018. From what I understand, that was a pretty cool exhibit. It was a lot of pictures, video footage, and not sure if they had any guests from the band speaking, but I heard it was a pretty cool exhibit that ran for a few months. Also in 2017, Cervenka announced that X added Craig Packham of the band The Palominos to fill in on drums and guitar because DJ Bonebreak and Billy Zoom were playing vibes and saxophone respectively. So they were kind of changing their instruments around. These original members went to play some other stuff. They brought in new people to back them up. In 2018, X released the live album X Live in Latin America to coincide with their 40th anniversary. The album was recorded in 2011, actually, when the band was on tour with Pearl Jam. This is very interesting. They did a short tour with Pearl Jam, and the sound engineer of Pearl Jam didn't tell the band and recorded a lot of their live shows and then presented them with the recordings as a gift at the end of the tour.
That's kind of cool.
That is cool. I mean, they, you know, the guy was obviously a fan, you know. It's and of course that was four original members of the band. So that's the lineup you want to see. I've been lucky to see that. You know, doing a show on X, it's kind of hard to emphasize how big they were on the West Coast.
They
influenced the music scene over there. Not just the punk scene. You're talking even like, you know, that alt country kind of stuff, and you know, people that were into like more of a roots rock sound or even a folk rock sound. John Doe is like the two of them, him and Exene, incredible songwriters. But there's just something very real about them, that very down to earth and very like earthy in a sense that they just get it, you know, and they kind of represent something about Los Angeles that to me, I've been to LA before. I'm a New York guy. I'm not an LA guy, but there's an undercurrent of kind of like a cool vibe, rock and roll vibe in LA that you don't usually pick up on because everything in Los Angeles is so fake, you know, and so like superficial. Okay. But, a good example is I remember, Billy Bob Thornton in the Lemmy documentary. Okay. That came out like in 2010, I think, about Lemmy from Motorhead, and Lemmy was living in LA, and Billy Bob Thornton was friends with him. And he said that Lemmy, and I'll say it's the same thing about X, represented like something about an older Los Angeles that's kind of under the surface of like a very cool rock and roll kind of place. And I kind of think of X in that way.
Yeah.
They're more than just like, you know, they rose above being on the level of like the Germs and stuff like that. You know, they're up there with like, I don't know, they stand out from the LA scene as one of the best LA bands ever, I think, you know.
And they changed their sound.
They changed their sound, yeah. And they adapted, but like when you listen to the songwriting of these guys, even if it's not the greatest album, because some of their albums vary, but it's still like very good songwriting, a lot of talent. I just really like them. I've pretty much liked everything they've done. Now after a while, 2019, Fat Possum Records released two new X songs as a single, a song called Delta 88 Nightmare and a song called Cyrano de Bergerac's Back. And it was from a forthcoming album called Alphabet Land, the band's first new studio album since 1993's Jesus, was released on April 22nd, 2020. On February 9th, 2021, Fat Possum also released Extras, two more tracks from the Alphabet Land recording sessions. Robbie Krieger from The Doors played slide guitar on one track, each on Alphabet Land and Extras. Okay. And that's cool. Robbie Krieger playing slide guitar. Okay. The band has continued to tour in 2021 and 2022. I checked out their website when I was putting the show together. They don't have anything lined up yet for this year. Hopefully everybody's health is good. I mean, these guys are up there now.
Yeah,
but, you know, I if there's any band that you haven't seen, that you should go see once. It's X. I think they put on a great show.
Dude, ain't it amazing how many years they've been together and still together? And even broke up for a little bit and then got back
together. Yeah. I mean,
not too many people do that.
No, they don't. And I got to emphasize too, like, you know, the lyrics and the songwriting has been pretty solid for 45 years. Okay. It's very hard to do that. They've changed their sound, but they still have, you know, lyrically, I always liked X. Okay. Their lyrics were always cool. You know, on the first album, like the song Johnny Hit and Run Pauline. Okay. And he's just talking about somebody that could like have sex for like 24 hours straight. And like, you know, it's like, and all these, you know, all Johnny Hit and Run Pauline. He's like talking about sex. Okay. Yeah. You know, I don't know. I put them, maybe it's a stretch here, but like on the East Coast, you had like Patti Smith, okay, with that kind of like poetic stuff going on in her lyrics. You know, the beat generation stuff, influences. I think that Xene and John Doe had those same influences and did them in a little bit less pretentious way than Patti Smith, okay? But like I said, if there's any band that you haven't seen and you should go see, I think it's X. Keep a lookout for them this year.
They got nothing lined up.
Nothing that I could see yet. I was just on their website like yesterday, and it's still back in 2022.
Maybe they'll get back together now, maybe do some shows because, you know, things moving again, started move.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of the mandates have been lifted, and you know, most of them, I don't think there's any clubs that are demanding anything anymore. So yeah. hopefully the live shows can start again. We're getting there.
Yeah.
That's all I got for you, Rob X.
All right, Mike. So how can we get a hold of you if we need to reach out to you?
Okay. I'm on Instagram, RockerMike212. I'm on Twitter, RockerMike212. Rocker Mike on Parler, MeWe, Getter, Truth Social, Clout Hub. Okay. And you can find me on Facebook under Rocko Mike. And then also, of course, you got the Rock Show podcast group page on Facebook where we got all the info about the podcasts and song of the day and a lot of great stuff.
We also got links to the show and everything else too.
Yeah. I always, on all those social media sites I mentioned, including Facebook, I always post the shows. So, you'll find them there. Of course, if you're watching on the YouTube channel, Getting Lumped Up, please hit subscribe and like. And Rob, where can we find you?
And you can find me in any social media platform. I'm pretty much everywhere. And if you want to drop a line for me, the best thing to do is do it on Twitter. I'm pretty active on that, and I answer people back. And also on Instagram, I'm pretty active on Instagram.
I see you there quite a bit on IG. Yeah.
I like Instagram. It's easy. You just put a picture and that's it, you know?
Yeah, it's a very simple service.
Yeah, you don't have to think about it, so I like it.
Yeah. So what do we got coming up? I dropped a new list yesterday to you.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember at this point. I'm going to look real quick here.
I got it on my notes.
Okay, I got it. All right, so we just finished March with X. April, we got two rock shows, the Dave Clark 5 and Oasis. Remember Oasis?
Yeah. Oh, I love Oasis. I saw them live.
I know. I was thinking of you when I decided to do it because you like them so much, you know?
Yeah, but they got into a fight and one of them left for a long time. It was ridiculous.
We'll talk about the Gallagher brothers, how they came out to get along. May, we're going to do some country. We're going to have two shows, one on the one and only Hank Williams, the first.
Yeah.
Okay. The second rock show will be on George Jones, who had, you know, what can you say about George Jones? Amazing stuff. June, we're going to be talking about Terry Reid. That might be a person some people are not familiar with, but Terry Reid almost joined Led Zeppelin. So okay, we'll get into that, okay? Mick Ronson will also be the final show in June, the amazing guitarist, Sadly, his life was cut short from cancer in the early 90s. But he's known for the work he did with Bowie and with Ian Hunter, and some very good solo work as well. So yeah, we got April, May, and June lined up, Rob.
When are we gonna have the lineup for the five live shows you really want to hear?
I'm gonna deal with that with the rest of the summer. We might do like two in a row like that. Okay. Talk about live albums again.
So we'll do like two parts.
Yeah. And actually, if anybody's listening and has any suggestions on some shows that might be good, okay, or if you want to mention a live album that you love, we've done this in the past where we've asked people on the Facebook Rock Show Podcast group page to vote, like, you know, what live album you think is great. And we've used your suggestions for shows. So if you want to put it in the comments on YouTube or get in touch with us directly with some ideas, we always listen to the fans out there. We appreciate what you have to say.
That's shocked that we haven't done a show like Run DMC, the Fat Boy, like all those weird Curtis Blow, like all those weird. Also,
well, we did a show on Run DMC during the pandemic. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. But I was surprised we never went back and did any more of those shows like that.
Okay. I mean, I'm open doing something on like Grandmaster Flash or something.
We did Run DMC, during the pandemic a long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look how many shows we do now.
Yeah. I wonder if we should try kicking, maybe do a show like on Biggie Smalls.
Yeah, I mean, I'm open to stretching the limits of the show, you know.
Just because I think his anniversary is coming up soon, where he passed away.
How many years now? 25.
Oh, it's a wow. Yeah, it got to be a long time. I still remember that. I still remember the first time I listened to his music. I had my boombox, and I was listening like to Hot 97, and then this voice come. I'm like, who the hell is this? I was like, what the hell?
Right out of Brooklyn.
Yeah, and it was like, he just had that voice that you can recognize him for miles or what. Like, we could do a two for one, Tupac and Big and Biggie, you know?
Tupac and Biggie, like a show on both.
Their life ran through it. They both, you know what they have in common? Both of the murders never got solved.
Right. And they were related, those murders, you know? So they said.
Hey, who knows? Maybe
that's a conspiracy show too.
That could be a conspiracy show. So, Mike, like always, this is the 175 show. We put a lot of work into it, especially Mike, and we like to thank the people that have followed us. And we gotta keep on trying till we make it, because we're moving up in the charts in France, in Bulgaria. We move every so often. We were just in Britain. We were in the top 200. So we keep pushing the envelopes, you know?
Yeah. And thank you to all the fans out there. Bulgaria, especially. Bulgarian fans got us in the top 20. Yes. We love it.
Imagine we hit like the top one there.
Imagine we're number one.
Oh, my God.
All right. What do we always say at the end of the show, Rob?
We don't get drunk.
We get lumped up.
And we'll see you next time.
Take care, people.
I want to get lumped up tonight. Listen to Rob Ross and get rock on my. On the only podcast that I'll hear, that won't make me wanna rip off my ears.